Open your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 20, verse 22, the book of Acts. That is the fifth book in the New Testament. Get to know your way around this book. It is life. It is truth. It is what we rest on in times of trouble and for direction in life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then the book of Acts, chapter 20, starting in verse 22. How has Jesus changed you? How has Jesus changed you? Are you different than you used to be? Am I different than I was yesterday, last week, last year, last decade? Is my nature different? Is my character? Yeah, even my personality. Do people describe me differently than they used to? How has Jesus changed you? Well, how is Jesus changing you? It's a different question, isn't it? Are you becoming more like Jesus? Are you experiencing more of the fruit of the Spirit just in your life? On a regular basis? Do you find yourself to be a more encouraging person to others? A more helpful person? A more humble person? Kinder? Gentler? More patient? More courageous? My message today is going to be short. I know, easy. a story about a man named Paul. And most of the message is going to be just sharing his story. The rest of it is going to be you sharing your story. How has Jesus changed me? And this is not just for the usual, more outspoken of us. We know who we are. And we love you. This is for the shy and the quiet and the ones who don't usually speak up and say things, because it's a message that needs to happen. How has Jesus changed me? Am I becoming somebody that is here to know him and to make him known? Here is a great place to learn how to make him known. So, Paul was a well-to-do Jewish man of his time. He had position. He had notoriety. He had influence. People knew who he was in all the right circles. He had influence as a Jewish man because he was a Pharisee, a part of the higher-ups, the echelon of the religious orders. But also, that was the central of social at the time as well. The church or the synagogues or the temple, that was what everything revolved around. So he was well known and influential, but he was also a Roman citizen of Tarsus. So he had it coming and going, quite honestly. Well educated, which many, many people were not. Zealous for his faith, zealous to the point of persecuting the people that he believed were corrupting the Jewish faith, those Christians. That's who he was after. Chasing them down, putting them in prison, obtaining warrants to arrest them, putting them to death. This was Paul. It says at one point, this was when his name was Saul. It says Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. That was Saul before he turned to Paul. Then chapter 9 of the book of Acts happened, and he met Jesus. And knowing him changed him, didn't it? He got baptized. Scripture says he spent several days with the other disciples. And at once, it says, at once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Bam! Out of the gates went Paul, formerly Saul. He was a changed person, wasn't he? And it impacted him. It says, and people, all those who heard him were astonished and said, isn't this the guy who was raising havoc among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them prisoner? He was here to take them prisoner. Not anymore. Now he's proclaiming the name of Jesus. And it says, yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews that were living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Paul grew. He grew in his faith. He grew strong in his faith. Knowing Jesus changes me, doesn't it? Later on in this chapter where that we're at in verse 20, Paul was on his way back to Jerusalem. You'll see he didn't know what to expect. Was passing by Ephesus and wanted to talk to some of the elders and leaders there in the city of Ephesus. Didn't want to go there because he knew he'd be arrested, and he didn't want to be deterred from his goal of going back to Jerusalem. And when they arrived, the elders of the church, he began to say to them, you know how I lived the whole time I was with you. From the first day I came into the province of Asia, you could look at his life and see there was something different. He said, I serve the Lord with great humility. Humility was not high on Paul's gift list. Okay. He says, but I serve the Lord with great humility and with tears in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. He was there in Ephesus earlier to his own danger, but he was there serving. He was there ministering to them. He said, you know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you. What, if this was going to help you, man, I'm just going to tell you. I've talked publicly from house to house, dangerous thing for Paul. And he said, I've declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God and repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. Knowing Jesus changes you, doesn't it? Paul was a different man. Different man. Let's stand together and read what he says next. Let's read. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak during this time. Lord, you have an imperfect, fallible speaker that needs the Spirit's guidance, and I pray that you'd take control of this time. I pray, Father, that both my heart and mine and the hearts and minds of all of us, that we would be open to say, God, speak that I might know you more and make you known. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So that's Paul's story. You have a story. That's going to be most of the message today. Your story. How is knowing Jesus changing me? Changed me means different than changes me, doesn't it? It's not the same, is it? Yeah. Knowing him changed me. That could have happened last week, last year. That could have happened for me 31 and a half or whatever years ago. Yeah, knowing Jesus changed me back then. And that could have been it, couldn't it? It's different than saying, knowing Jesus changes me. It's a different thing. So important that we get the difference between the two. Changed is a past thing. That happened before. Changes me is a current thing. It's happening still. I don't know what the English stuff is about. How do you make something a past tense, present tense? Yeah, I remember diagramming sentences, but I remember nothing about it. How many people diagrammed sentences growing up? Yeah, I don't think they do that anymore. It's pretty much gone, just almost like cursive, right? Well, we're talking about something that has happened and is happening, where God is, knowing him is changing me. Knowing him more changes me more. When I stop knowing him, you know what? I stop changing. It's about an ongoing relationship, an ongoing part of your life that is always in change. You know, what was I talking to somebody about that? You know, I think it might have been about people-pleasing or something, but you think you've got it down. You're like, okay, I'm handling life, and I've got this. Walking kind of like, yep, I got it. And then, you know, what happens? Life happens, right? Sometimes we can stumble and fall. All of a sudden, we tripped over a sin that we thought we had our arms around, and all of a sudden, bam, I stumble and sin again. Or a loved one gets sick. Or I lose my job. Or I start a new chapter in my life. Maybe it's college. You've lost a loved one. And all of a sudden, we think what we thought we had our arms around, we're struggling with. Life is like that. It's an ongoing process of, I know him, I know Jesus, we're walking close, and then life hits, and I find out I need to know him more. I need him more. We need him every day. Don't ever get to the place where you say, I got it. Because as soon as you hit that, you set yourself up for the fall, right? Mm-hmm. Yep. When Saul met Jesus, his eyes were opened, literally, right? But even more than that, his eyes were opened spiritually to know that his need for Jesus. Paul, the worst of sinners, he described himself. The persecutor of the church, murderer, enemy of God, found forgiveness in Jesus. Grace to begin again when he had no business being able to expect anything from God. And God said, Saul, I'm going to call you Paul now. Now you're going to work for me. Wow. That's powerful. He found forgiveness, grace. He learned from others. He said, I need God's people. I need God, but I need God's people to teach me. And went out there and started talking about Jesus. And you know what? When this was happening right here, when he was on his way to Jerusalem and he said this, I'm going to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen to me there. All I know is prison and hardships. That much I know. I don't know what that's going to look like, but that's what I got coming. But you know what? I consider my life worth what? Nothing. Oh, if only I might finish the race and complete the task that Jesus gave to me. What was that task? To tell people about the love, the grace, the good news of Jesus. God come in the flesh to save us, rescue us, redeem us, and give us a second chance. He says, if only I can complete that. And that was 22 years later after he got and met Jesus. You know what? He was still knowing Jesus, and it was still changing him. It was still changing him. That's how knowing Jesus changed Paul and continued to change him to this very last day on this earth. Our purpose for the life that God gives us every day, I love this saying, to know him. That's John 15. Abide in me. Abide in me. Stay attached to the vine, and to know him and to make him known. So simple, but so profound. My job? Abide in Christ. Remain. Dwell with him. Be close to him. Be growing deeper. God's job? Bear the fruits. So my question for you for the rest of the message, how has knowing Jesus changed you? How is knowing Jesus changing you today? How has knowing Jesus changed you? How is knowing Jesus changing you today? Open to all. If it's a sentence long, make him known. Make him known what he's done. Yes, Chris.
I was thinking of, is this high?
Oh, yeah?
I don't have much voice.
Yeah,
Thank you. I was thinking of the word focus. It changes your focus. I think that describes it in a nutshell. We're looking outward at people that normally we would get upset at or whatever, but we think of them as people that God loves and that God wants to use us in their lives. And that makes us joyful, because no matter what people do, we're still thinking of where he's working, and that's where I want to be.
Figuring out where he's working and being there, right? Yeah, thank you. That's awesome. Brother Bob, good to see you and Nancy today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
God has changed my heart from being I-focused to others-focused. He dragged me out of that slimy pit where I once lived and placed my feet on a rock. Jesus is my rock. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Beautiful. Anybody else? How has Jesus changed you? How is he changing you? Make him known today.
I was actually having a similar discussion with one of my friends from high school this week, talking about, you know, how has Jesus changed me? I've been walking with him 30 years. I'm a different person now. Probably many of you, if you had known me in high school, you wouldn't recognize me. And my friend said it's cool to have these long friendships that we know each other. We know where we were 30 years ago. And we love each other anyway, you know. But she had invited me to a women's Bible study that she leads. And she's invited me before, and I haven't gone, but another friend of ours from high school that she was concerned about had wanted to do this, and she thought the two of us together could minister better to this friend. So I went, and the topic came up of holiness. And these were women that had not grown up in the same church background as me, and I felt the need, being from a holiness church, to define holiness. And I said, you know, holiness, and I stopped and I said, being right living is something that, you know, I've grown up in, but God has been showing me how, talking about the abide, you know, being in the, that I my job is not to do the right living, to bear the fruit, which has been the focus of my life, my Christian life for 30 years of doing the right things, but to abide in God and let that fruit come out of it. And as I thought about that more this week, God kind of spoke to me again and said, right living is not the definition of holiness. Right living is the definition of righteousness, which is an important thing. But the definition of holiness is being set apart for God's purposes. And so that's, I guess, what I'm learning or trying to learn right now and letting God teach me is how to be set apart for his purposes. Not just doing the right things, but being completely his. So that's where God is working in me today.
Awesome. Thank you, love. Yeah. Oh. All right, fair enough. Scott.
Nobody here knew me 20 years ago, but like Terry was saying, you know, when I was in high school, when I think of those years or when I was in college, before I knew God and came to Christ, I was very self-focused, very arrogant, bit of a loner. But today, now knowing Jesus and the changes that he's made in my life, you know, being able to look at the idols that I had and dropping them and now focusing more on others, doing things like going on a Hades mission trip or, you know, lead in a men's Bible study. These were things that I never would have done before without him in my life. And just being able to, in my marriage, to look at my wife and see the love that God has for her and to be able to share that love that the Lord has, you know, with her, is just created a bond that and a relationship that I never thought I would experience. So he's definitely has had a lot of impact in my life, and I'm very grateful.
Amen. Thank you, Scott. I've seen that working in your life. Brother Mark?
I have always helped people out or, you know, go beyond. And, you know, I just thought I was just dealing, but I think it is, you know, love from God, you know, that I do that for people. That's what I think I learned. So.
Okay. So God is teaching you how to love people in his way. Yeah. It was him working in you. Yeah, that's awesome. I see God working in my brother Mark. Donna.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Jesus, we don't have enough time in this service. That's the very first thing I have to say, because he's continuously working in me. But the biggest change came when I was doing another study from another program, Celebrate Recovery, and it asked about my father. And I didn't have an earthly father. I mean, I did, but he wasn't there for me. And it just pierced my heart when I realized that he had been there all this time. I just didn't know it. That the earthly father did not matter, really. Really, what matters is Jesus is changing me. I'm in the process now.
Amen.
I mean, it's ongoing. I still fall short every day. I still have bad thoughts. But, you know, he's changing me, and what else can I say? That's it.
Praise God. Thank you. It's been exciting to see God working in Donna's life. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Anybody else have something to share? Knowing him changes me. Knowing him's changed me. It's made me a different person than I was, and it's wonderful. That's such, that's it. It's like, what else can I say? It's awesome what God's done. Brother Paul.
In coming to know God these last couple years, it's made me a lot less of a violent person. So where I used to jump real quickly to using my hands, I settle things more now with my words. And it seems like when I get heated, God just taps me on the shoulder and calms me down. Become more, much more of a more Christian man. Mm-hmm. And I feel the presence more every day.
Amen. Amen. Been seeing the work in this, brother. Love having him. Oh, hey, Jillian.
Okay, so I see God changing me because tomorrow I start my classes for ministry. And I have been so stuck on the fact, like, I'm the only girl in my class, and I'm the youngest one by 10 plus years. And to me, that was so intimidating. I'm like, okay, here's what I have to do to prove that I'm superior, that I am valuable, even though I'm younger. And so God has really been changing my mindset that it's not about proving myself, because I'll never be that perfect pastor. I need to look to God, because that's the one I'm serving. I'm not serving the people, and while I'll be here to minister to them, like, I'm not going to get my strength from them or what I do, but instead from God.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you. Yeah, we will always feel like we're falling short because the needs are always greater. So that's a lesson I probably wish I'd learned a long time ago. So I'm glad you're starting off with that. That's awesome. Anybody else? Yeah, Mary Jane. Yeah, the shy ones too. I loved hearing from the shy ones.
I became a Christian pretty much when I got married. And the relationship with God grows for me from being a mom. I could never do that job without him.
Amen. Well, I'll tell you, that's one thing that'll make you recognize your need. It's having children. I can still remember, I'm probably a little bit hot here, John. I still remember when they put Lucas in my arms, I'm like, oh man, I don't even know if I'm going to be able to hold them and not drop them. It does make you recognize, oh, I'm responsible for so much more than myself. I've heard that from a few people. God's turning my eyes off of me and helping me to get my eyes on others. Yeah, so that's beautiful. All right, my brother back in the back. Give me exercise. I didn't get enough yesterday.
what he has done for me, the event that we're doing, I used to look at those same people with different eyes. I thought, okay, I've had Jesus for years, but yet I still looked at them as junkies, as drug addicts, as less than human. So the last couple years especially is when he's really started touching my heart, and I noticed, hey, these are human beings.
Yep.
No matter, I mean, doesn't matter if they're alcoholics, doesn't matter if they're drunks, doesn't matter if they have mental illnesses, they're still human. Yep. They're still human beings. And who am I to say that I love Jesus but look at somebody else different than me?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And that's how he's changed my life. I mean, it is what it is. This event is amazing because he changed my life. And hopefully it will change their lives.
Amen. Yeah, that's a pretty powerful thing when he changes how we look at others. It is. This is where you, boy, you want. This is where God's working back here. Nancy.
I just have to say that I love how God confirms his word. I had to say this because we just heard Charles Stanley this morning, and the very words he said was, everything kind that you feel, or, oh, I have to help that person, or love, it comes from Jesus, comes from our Father, and it's not of us. He's just using us, and I love that.
Amen. It's a privilege, isn't it, to say, I'll use you, and we're like, I'm no good, I'm nothing. God says, I don't need you to be anything. I just need you to be available, and then I can use that. Yep, just available. Faithful, available, teachable. My initials, F-A-T. After all the pizza I ate this week, yeah, that'll be describing me. Ah, any others? One last one or two? All right, yeah. Next Saturday gonna be a blessing. Well, Oh, sure. No, I didn't say that. I didn't want them to. I said I want everybody else as well.
No, I'm just sitting here thinking. I've been saved for 72 years, and Christ has been so real to me. And I can remember Brother Vic saying that, because, you know, when you're first saved and you start talking about being saved and stuff, and they say, well, you can't do this, and you can't, all your friends, you can't do this, you can't do that. And it's not that you can't, Brother Vic said, you don't, your wanter changes. You don't want to do
your wanter changes.
So your wanter,
I love
and that.
That
has stuck with me all these years, you know, when I talk to people. And when I went to my 50th high school reunion, that's been many years ago now, three people came up to me and said to me, you're the only person I know that thinks the same way today. You haven't changed in your thoughts as you did in high school. Can you imagine that? I mean, you know, that's been a year since. But I think that they were talking about because I still didn't smoke, drink,
right.
Or, you know, there's one thing. So you never know who's watching you. You just never know. And how many, and then two, people come up when something happens. Once you bow your head at the office or wherever you're working, people watch you like a hawk. See, I'm 84, so I know. But it's just, and then the one thing about it, they'll come up to you when something's wrong, and they'll ask you to pray for them. And that has meant more to me than so many things in my lifetime.
Amen. Isn't that a privilege to be able to have somebody ask you to pray for them? What a privilege that is, be able to bring them to the throne of God. My brother Orville.
Yeah, about 90 years ago, I used to be an arrogant person, kind of brash, you know. But then I became a Christian. I learned to be a little humble. And I researched that, and I decided I was going to write a book on the 10 most humblest people in the world. And in the book, I described how I chose the other nine.
I hope y'all caught that one. The book will be coming out in hardcover and on online any day. Yeah, how much you charge in there, Orville? It's free. Well, see now, is that a humble man? Number one on the list and free books. Well, praise the Lord. Hey, I just have to say, great message today. Thank you. Oh, knowing him changes me. I hope that's your heart's desire. Knowing him makes me different. And when I'm different, I look at life different. When I'm different, I look at people different. When I'm different, I approach my problems differently. Ah. I'm just going to close this in prayer and thank him. We're just going to take some time. You know what? I'm going to just take a moment, one or two or three, just popcorn prayer, short prayers. Thank him for his goodness, for helping us to know him more and changing us. Just popcorn out there, short prayers, and we'll just thank him today.